Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and this is AIR, and we're still continuing to get everything figured out on Ustream, so we're having lots of fun. We are attempting now to get her as co-host. So Tony is this amazing lady that is a master teacher in metaphysics. I absolutely adore this woman, and let's just get started because you're just really so wonderful. Tony, can you tell me a little bit about how you became a teacher and a little bit about yourself?
Well, actually, I like to say that I came prepackaged. And what I mean by that is my first awarenesses when I came into Earth and began to become aware of myself as a baby, et cetera, was of more than one world. So it wasn't like I was just here. I was in other places at the same time, multidimensionally. And as I began to become, you know, talkative and a regular little toddler, I began to realize that other people were not experiencing what I was experiencing. And as time went on, that became increasingly apparent. So I was raised a Catholic and went to Catholic school, so I was very devoted to going to Mass, praying to Mary, and this sort of thing, because this was a place that I could actually anchor myself in something that was closer to all of the realities that I was experiencing. And when I was 12, by the time I was 12, I finally decided that I had basically had enough of Earth and asked my mother if she would get permission from the bishop to let me go into the Carmelite Monastery, which is a cloistered monastery where you go behind the veil, you go behind the wall, and you don't see people again. And it wasn't that I didn't like humanity, it was just that it was much easier to be talking in dimensions that would be considered spiritual than it would be to convey information here when people couldn't understand what I was talking about. And so my mother did ask the bishop, and he did say yes between my school years in the summer that I could go into the monastery and see if I liked it. And then my mother, being the smart woman that she was, bought horses. And at the same dinner that she announced that the bishop had said yes, she also announced the fact that she had bought horses for my sister and for herself and for me, and my horse would be waiting for me when I came out of the cloister at the beginning of the next school year. Well, what 12-year-old girl doesn't want a horse? So that basically saved me from the cloister, and I spent many years after that riding out in the Nevada deserts where we lived on horseback and enjoying that. When I finished my schooling, I moved to San Francisco in my early 20s and met a non-denominational holy order, the Holy Order of Mans, and became a master teacher through that holy order. I entered because they were a mixture of Catholicism and Eastern mysticism, and I was really looking for something that would clarify for me and also foundation for me a place to be that I could talk to others and they would understand what I was saying. And when I first went in for the initial interview, Master Paul basically said, you know, I understand what you're talking about and I can take you further. And that was really what I was waiting to hear. And he was truthful. He could, and he did. And what I did was to stay in the order until I felt like it was time to go. And then I allowed myself to come out into the world again and start teaching on my own. So that's sort of how I came to be where I am now. And I've been teaching for over 43 years, and I love it. It's my deepest passion, actually.
And that passion really shows. You have done some remarkable videos lately that really are eye-opening, and one of the messages that I really liked was the fact that you're telling people it's time for them to take responsibility. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. The movie that you're referring to is the movie I did on cognitive dissonance, which sounds like a lot of big words around a very simple subject. What cognitive dissonance is when your head and your heart are warring, when you have beliefs that are in opposition to each other. And it creates this uneasy feeling because your brain-mind complex is constantly looking for that which resonates with your beliefs about life. And when it doesn't happen, you feel out of sorts and you feel very uncomfortable. Well, the heart, being the strongest electromagnetic organ of your body, knows, that's why I call it the voice of your soul, it knows what the mission is that you came to the earth to experience. It isn't as though we come here, you know, with these great dramatic contracts. Everyone likes to pretend that we have these enormous experiences, a la Cecil B. DeMille, that we have to go through. And really what it's like is that we come here with a specific intention to experience a set of experiences. And then once you get here, it's sort of all bets are off, because then you get to experience Earth amnesia and forget that you are actually God in form. That part of you that remembers is your heart. And because your heart is remembering what it's coded to tell you, like a cue card, like if you were in a play, it's like a cue card, and it tells you constantly what is real for you. When you begin to fight against that, and when you begin to assume beliefs or take on beliefs and act from them as though they are your truths, that's when you experience what I call cognitive dissonance. And that's what people are experiencing right now. And the first way that you know when you're experiencing it is because you start to justify what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And usually through blaming someone or trying to find a way to put a Band-Aid over that which you are feeling uncomfortable about. And one of the things that Jennifer had mentioned in advertising the show with me, we were going to talk about DNA activation and DNA itself, because I do a lot of work with that. The idea of activating our DNA so that we can ascend or access the light body or become more than we already are is almost a moot point when you're in the physical world and you're living in a lack of resonance, when you're living in dissonance, because you're not going to be able to activate your DNA. You're not going to be able to reach that part of you that says, I need to be in a coherent state. I need to be in harmony inside of you. So the ideas and the concepts and the perceptions that society puts on you through parenting, religion, governments, your culture, etc., are the ones that need examining.
Mm-hmm.
And as you examine them, you'll begin to realize what really belongs to you and what doesn't.
And with that, once you figure out what doesn't really belong to you and what does, what is a good way for people to kind of disown what they don't own and own what that is theirs? You know what I mean? I'm not quite sure I'm saying that correctly.
Well, I understand what you're saying. What you're asking me is, what's the easiest way to get past all of this?
Basically, yes.
Okay.
In a very roundabout way.
Well, I like to call that my pirate self. I'm, you know, this lady who's seen the Pirates of the Caribbean 30 times and owns the big banner that hung in the theater. And it's not because I'm in love with Johnny Depp. It's because the character that Captain Jack Sparrow plays, especially in the first movie, The Curse of the Black Pearl, is exactly what I'm talking about. No matter what happened to him, and most of the people listening I know have seen that movie, no matter what happened to Captain Jack Sparrow, he only said one thing. He said, remember, I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. So when he showed up when he was supposed to be dead, or showed up when he was supposed to be marooned, and they said, how did you get here? What's going on? He just said, you forgot. I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. And he claimed his own essence. He laid claim to himself. That is what each person is invited to do. And that's why when you said I was made the movie about taking responsibility for your life, one of the things that I find in the light worker community that is so prevalent is this looking away from that which is happening in the world, because the belief is, a la law of attraction, that what you put your attention on, you give energy to, and you make more of. And that's true. I like to call it the principle of resonance, but that's fine. Doesn't make any difference what you call it. It still works the same way.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you do that is that you no longer are then being responsive, where the word responsibility came from, to the world in which you're living. And if you don't know what's going on, how can you put the attention upon it that you want it to embrace or you want it to experience? How can you give it life if you don't even know what it is or that it's there? We're all co-creating this together. There's no, you know, person out there. There's no government out there. There's no bad BP that spilled the oil in the Gulf out there. It's all of us doing this together. And that's what I said in my movie. If you drive a car, if you go to the grocery store, if you use anything that's plastic, you're a part of the petroleum industry. Don't blame them. They're just supplying the consumer. And we can take mm-hmm. that idea and we can turn it around and look at all aspects of life from the standpoint of being responsible completely for what we are experiencing. And when we do that, then we realize how many things in our life we say we believe that we have no idea where they came from. So the very first thing that I tell my students to do, and when people take my metaphysics course, the very first thing we do in the first 2 weeks of lessons, it's a three-month course, is to look at their belief systems and find out where they came from and what they mean to the person. Because until we do that, there's no sense in learning anything. Until you know why you believe what you believe about yourself, your relationships, your job, your family, your community, the world, your future, your finances. Until you believe those things, then there isn't any reason to understand or attempt to understand something that is going to be different than they are until you step in and say, I'm going to change my beliefs to something that really fits for me. And that's going to be different for everybody else. It's going to be different than, it's not going to be what Jen believes or Tony believes or anything like that. It's going to be something that's different for everybody. And everybody has a chance to look at what those beliefs are and figure out how they want to exhibit their life from their own truth.
Okay, so when they figure out their truth, is there a chance that they're going to, of course, is there a big possibility that social pressure will make them kind of conform to what other people are saying or believing?
Yeah, and people will try, obviously. Yes, I mean, there's lots of people. I mean, putting movies up on YouTube doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have people running to your door screaming, oh, wonderful movie. I get people that say some really not nice things, and I just, remove the comments. Nobody gets to see them but me because I get rid of them right away, which makes the people double mad and, on and on. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. Block the user. That's the answer to that. There's always the delete button. There's a lot of people that aren't going to agree with anything that anybody says if it doesn't match your belief system, because the first thing it does is make you, it's kind of like looking at your mortality when you see a dead person. All of a sudden you have to question yourself. So there's a big difference between, say, for instance, my putting up a YouTube and somebody saying, oh, wow, never thought of it that way. I don't necessarily agree. Could you explain more? And somebody saying, how could you say that? Blankety, blankety, blank, you such and such, such and such. The second person has been triggered in such a way that they don't want to look at the fact that maybe their belief is being shaken up, that there's a little earthquake going on inside them, so they're just going to point a finger and say, you shouldn't do that. And that's what people do.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of intense energy going on right now, with a lot of things actually kind of being shaken up and moved out to the surface so people can deal with things. Do you think part of this whole process is so people realize what their true beliefs are? And to get away from blaming other people, but owning what is their stuff?
Definitely. Because one of the things that, and using sort of universal principles here, one of the things that happens in the cosmos as well as in the earth, in nature, is before something is created, something else has to be destroyed first.
Right.
It's like, you know, before the seed comes through, it has to destroy the shell, blah, 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 et cetera. Okay, so before we create the kind of lives we say we want, we have to destroy that which we are experiencing right now. And that's a pretty messy process. It's like birth. You know, just imagine if you saw a woman giving birth and you didn't know what that was, you'd think she was dying. You know, it doesn't look very pretty, but then look what you get at the end. So it's the same idea of us as a species birthing a new aspect of ourselves. And there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and tearing and ripping and shredding and destroying and walls coming down and confusion before there is the recreation of the new self. It's chaos to order. And the thing that's interesting is in the universe, what happens is it just continues chaos to order to chaos to order to chaos to order because it's this constant infinite expansion. So people think we're going to get there, whatever that means to them, and then everything is going to be fine, except once we get there and everything is fine, then there's going to be another surge because it's a constant infinite expansion within Source. As Source experiences more and more and more and more. So it's this wonderful game board, if you would, of us constantly moving our pieces around, creating that which we wish to experience. And I know that for most people, there's a place inside everybody who's listening right now, who's saying inside themselves, yeah, I know that's right, and that sounds okay, and that's pretty good, but over here that won't work. And it has to do with relationships or work or something that has to do with survival. That's where it usually hits. Because if I don't do things this way for this person, then I'm not going to have a roof over my head or I'm not going to have anything to eat or I won't have something, money, whatever. In that moment, and each person knows this too, is our self-betrayal. And it's a very courageous leap, and it doesn't have to be taken, you know, clear across the chasm. Just sometimes baby steps work better at first, to figure out what it's going to take to bring you into resonant harmony with yourself around whatever that aspect is. And interestingly enough, each of us knows exactly how to do that. So when somebody says, well, I don't know, I say, let's rephrase that. You do know you don't want to look because you're afraid of what you're going to see. Because as soon as you start to look at what change you need to make to create whatever it is that's going to be in harmony with you, that means you're going to lose people, places, things, something, or at least you believe you will, and you might. To come to this newness that is the true you, and yet that's the only way that you're going to find happiness. It's the only way that you're going to come to peace.
So my question to you about that is, I have met a few people that have this beautiful, thick mask that they have become so attached to that they think they are happy. With this energy that's happening, that's really kind of breaking down walls and stuff, do you feel these people having an easy transition, or is it going to be rough because it becomes so, in a way, codependent on that exterior mask that they show everyone that's not really them? It's their comfort zone.
It's going to depend upon, it's hard to give that a real general answer because it's going to depend upon the person. there's a couple of things that happen. And I know a lot of people that are or were like that as well. Either the person is going to become uncomfortable enough with themselves due to some set of circumstances, that there could be any set of circumstances, that they are going to decide they don't like the way they are, and they're going to seek someone to help them with change, be it a therapist or a counselor or a guru or a priest or a workshop or something, some teacher that's going to say, okay, there's a different way to look at this, or something's going to happen to pull the rug out from underneath them and they're not going to be left any choice. Basically, or, those are the two things that happen.
Yes, or the way I say it, instead of the rug, it's a 2x4 to the side of the head.
Yeah, exactly.
That's usually the method I get, and it works. It always seems to wake me up.
And that does happen with a lot of people. It's sort of like when you're, you know, in a job and you stay there and you stay there and you stay there and you're absolutely miserable and you want to quit and, oh, you just want to quit so bad. And finally one day, excuse me, they let you go.
Yes.
And you say to yourself, oh, I knew that was coming. You know, you could have 6 months before have gone in and said, you know, it's time for me to leave. And spent
right.
6 months being happier than dragging it out. But the 2x4 mm-hmm. comes along and it gives it to you, and then finally you are where you wanted to be anyway.
Yes, I had that experience happen to me in 2008.
Where I
lost 2,500 clients in a blink of an eye.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you know what that feels like.
Oh, I definitely know what it feels like, and it's like, okay, I guess I'm a little burnt out on doing this. Time to move on to something else. And it's very interesting that I know I'm a writer. I know I'm supposed to be writing. I love writing. I have a passion for it, and I do have kind of a flair for it. And yet, until something is actually written that makes me money, I need to make a living. So I kind of like talked to Spirit and said, okay, here's the deal. I need an income. So I know how to do psychic readings. So I will work on my books, but I need income. So these days, it's very interesting. If I'm really focusing and working on my books or working on a blog or some kind of writing, that's when I get the phone calls. If I'm not writing, I don't get phone calls.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying the universe is saying, okay, you do what you're supposed to be doing, and we'll make sure you have a living. So it keeps me very, very focused on getting my writing done.
Yeah, definitely. So, and it's you're paying attention to what the universe is saying to you. That's just it, see?
Yeah, I noticed that pattern. Whenever I was focused on what I was really supposed to be doing, definitely the money, the phone calls and the money came in.
Right.
And the opportunities even, other opportunities came in the more I wrote. So, you got to pay attention to the signs. The universe is very obvious. They're really open to discussions. And it really is kind of fun to talk to them and see what's really going on within you. And really, the deeper you get in yourself and see how you're blocking yourself, because once you agree, Tony, that most of the people really are just getting in their own way.
Oh, definitely. And they get in their own way. Getting in their own way and trying to get out of it. And it's an interesting place. It's the thing is, you know what it is, Jennifer? I think it's so simple that the mind doesn't know what to do with it. So the mind tries to make it complex and make it hard. And it's so simple to simply accept what is in front of you and say, what do I want to do with this really? And just take a step from there. It's almost comical because it feels silly that it could be that simple. And yet we know, we always know inside that this is good, this is right for us. Good's relative. Over
right.
here, I'm not happy over here. It doesn't mean that it's good or bad. It simply means for me. This is what makes me happy. This over here doesn't make me happy. And to be able to say that to people, and like you were saying earlier, when people step up to their own beliefs and they step up to the plate, other people sometimes aren't very happy with that and try and make them come along, so to speak, to the old belief system, to remember that this is about you, this isn't about them, and all you need to say is, this doesn't work for me anymore. I don't like doing that anymore. This isn't the way I want to be anymore, and keeping it with you, not blaming them or saying, you shouldn't be doing it either. That's not our judgment call. All we know is what the aspects are of our own expression that we want to bring forth and how we want to bring them forth.
And when okay, we do now, that,
makes it easy.
Yes. Continue.
No, I was just saying, when we do that, it makes it easy. Because then the other person, say, you know, you've decided to change jobs, and your mother comes to you or your best friend or somebody and says, oh, you shouldn't do that, the economy, this, that, dot, 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 and there they go. All you need to do is to say, well, you know, thinking that way doesn't work for me anymore. I'm not happy where I am. I'm going to make myself happy. And it's not like you have to come up with, you know, the how to solve all the world's problems. Just tell them the truth of what you and not try to defend it. Simply, this is what I'm doing now. This is the only thing I want to do now. You know, and by the way, how are you doing? Change the subject.
Right.
Make it simple.
Now, there's a lot of mirroring effects going on. At least I'm noticing that. Do you find that happening where you meet somebody who's that's just like exactly like you?
Yeah.
And it needs you to just like wake up and see exactly what they're doing and say, okay, so that's something else I need to look at.
Right. Yeah, I love that aspect of feeling that little niggle inside yourself. And sometimes, because when you've been doing this work for a long time, I'm 63. So, yeah, I've been doing this for a while. And the big stuff is kind of taken care of, the big obvious stuff. That was obvious. But it's all those little niggly things that come along that get you. You can just feel yourself, you know, inside getting a little irritated and a little more irritated. And you know it's you. So what is it about you that makes this person, place, or thing so irritating, upsetting, or whatever? And the more you look at yourself that way, the more you can laugh at yourself. It's just hysterical. I mean, it really is. To see how we could be so caught up in something so unimportant.
Oh, yeah. And it's a great cosmic joke. At least my guidance have often said, we want to thank you. You've made our lives really quite entertaining, Jenny, watching you struggle and getting so wrapped up in really mindless things. Thank you for the entertainment. I said, hey, thank you very much. Glad I'm amusing you. And ever since they really kind of clued me into that, it's easier to get myself out of it, because I was one of those people that got totally wrapped up in the drama, in the situation, in the energy, in anything and everything. And now I just kind of sit back and watch and more the witness of it all, because it's just, and laugh. And you don't really want to laugh at somebody as they're in that moment, but you kind of want to slap them and say, okay, get over it, get a grip, and make them laugh in some ways. It really, it does break the energy if somebody's too tense in something.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are some of the other aspects of the DNA activation that we need to really cover?
One of the things that I think is really important going into activating your DNA, because when you activate your DNA, and I have a CD that was music specially composed by Stefan Jacob, who's a wonderful composer, to have you say the ritual after me so that you are saying the words out loud and activating your DNA to open up all of the channels that you have available to you. Going into something like that, going back to the idea of beliefs and what's going on in your life, one of the aspects that I like to talk about and teach is absolution. And I have an absolution ritual on my website in text form, video form, and audio form. So depending upon what your style of usage or learning is, it's there for everybody. And what the difference between forgiveness and absolution is that in forgiveness, you say you've done something bad or wrong that I don't like, or mm-hmm. you hurt me or whatever, and I forgive you because I want to love you and I'm a good person, etc. In absolution, what you say is, there is no wrongdoing on my part or on your part. We have simply had an experience together. And in the absolution ritual, what you do is do it first with yourself, do it with the other person that I lead you through, you know, choosing what subject or person you're going to use.
Right.
And then the two of you join as one light and you absolve the world together as one.
Wow, that's very powerful.
Oh, it's wonderful. It is fantastic, and it's done some amazing things for people. And when you can stay in a state of absolution, then activating your DNA is the logical next step for your harmonious nature. Because once you stay in a state of absolution, then there isn't anything that is wrong that you are blaming, because you're simply absolving it all as an experience. It doesn't mean that you have to stay in, say, an abusive relationship or a job that you hate, or that somebody doesn't, you know, make you mad when they cut you off. All these things happen. But you immediately go to a state of absolution, and then you resolve the issue, whatever it might be. And you don't hold them accountable or yourself accountable, saying this shouldn't have happened, because it obviously did happen. So it's mm-hmm. an experience that you're having. And then once you're comfortable with that, it is very natural to begin to activate the DNA from the standpoint of your clair powers, as I like to call them, clairaudience, precognition, being able to feel what's going to happen, or getting information from cosmic consciousness, etc. All of these various aspects come more easily because you bring yourself into a harmonious, coherent vibration. A coherent vibration means that the troughs and the crests, the ups and the downs of the wave of your vibration, are equal. Mm-hmm. And the DNA is reliant, this is science now, is reliant upon a coherent frequency to express. So when you are stressed out, when you are anxious, when you're very, very angry, you're actually taking the DNA and you're tightening it, tightening it, tightening it, tightening it. And in experiments that have been conducted scientifically, they've gotten DNA to tighten enough till it kills itself. It just dies. It can't sustain life when it's that tight. And what we want to do is stay in this coherent wave of harmony, so that the DNA can express, can receive the information we're sending to it as we say the words of activating mm-hmm. the rest of the codons in the DNA, and then letting the doors open to receiving the gifts that does. Because though we say we've, you know, decoded the genome, it's only 1.5% that's been decoded. That's all we know about the genome. That's all we know about the DNA. The rest of it is called, quote-unquote, junk DNA, which is really potential DNA, and it's up for grabs. It's open for anything. It's not being used to create proteins in your body. It's not being used to run your physical body like the coding DNA is. So it's open for expression on all levels of expression. And the Russians have done fantastic work. I've got several movies out about this. The Russians have done a fantastic job of experimenting with coherent DNA and literally what it can do to transmit information. It's phenomenal work. And we can do it ourselves, but we have to be coherent in our vibration to do it. Otherwise, the DNA does not receive the information that we send it. It's in a state of protection. It's clamped down. It's protecting itself because we're sending signals, chemical signals, saying, I'm not surviving well. And then all it's trying to do is keep you alive. It's not listening to activate me. It's listening to, I've got to keep this body going.
Right. Now, if you're trying to get coherent, and, I mean, do you really need to have everything in order? I mean, can you be so focused on really improving your life and being in that spiritual oneness that the coherency kind of emerges? I mean, can you do all the work and, you know, kind of, can you step any steps, in other words?
Can you do what? I didn't hear what you said.
skip any steps?
Well, you can. There really aren't steps, per se. I understand what you're saying, but there's a few things that bring coherency into your body the easiest. And one of those is focusing on your heart, the physical heart in your body. And when you place your attention there and you bring up a sense within you of well-being in your body, whatever you need to think about or dream about or let your mind go off into the clouds above to find whatever thought that's going to create within you this sense of well-being so that you can feel it, so that you can really feel it in your body, that is your sense of coherency. And one of the things that I like to teach my students is various ways to practice this, and we talk about it a lot in our classes, so that you practice it enough day to day in your meditation time that you have set aside for you, that is your sacred time, so that you can, on the fly, in the moment of something chaotic happening, drop into that coherency immediately. Because as soon as you enter that state of coherency, all information in cosmic consciousness is available to you. And from this place, you can receive the perfect answer to address any situation. But you can't fool it, so you want to practice it when you have nothing else to do besides practice it. And then try it out on smaller things until something comes along that is bigger than a bread box, as my mother would say. And you can fall into this state of coherency and just say, oh, really? Okay, so you want to tell me more about that? And you're just staying there totally coherent and harmonious with inside yourself. That is the quote-unquote aim of spending time being with your heart, listening to what your soul says, is being able to stay in that particular frame of reference, so to speak, for living on a day-to-day basis. So whether you skip steps or not while you're doing that, you could. I don't know. It depends upon what steps they are. It depends upon each person.
Right.
And yet each person has a heart. Each person has breath. Each person can breathe into their heart and sit there with it. And each person has something that's going to give them a sense of well-being. I was telling this one lady about this one day, and she said, chocolate cake. I said, chocolate cake? She said, all I have to do is think of chocolate cake. And let me tell you, I am there. And I said, well, chocolate cake it is. Let's go, chocolate cake. And it, for each person, it's different. But we know what it is.
Okay. Is it really just your strongest passion? Is that a way of thinking?
It could be your strongest passion, provided you don't feel thwarted in your strongest passion. If you know what your strongest passion is and you don't get to express it, then thinking about it is just going to get you stressed out.
Right.
So it would have to be something that lets you feel a sense of just harmony, well-being, appreciation, just feeling so happy to be present and alive in this moment. I know for me what I use is the look on a person's face when I've told them something about the very core of their being, and I watch it go in, and I watch them accept it, and I watch them get it. In the moment of my watching the energy as they get it, when they do get it, if they get it, that moment right there brings me into a state in my body that is indescribable. And I always use that. That's my little touchstone.
That's a beautiful one.
Oh, it is. And it works. And the thing that's interesting about this, I have taught this over and over and over for years and years and years and years and years. And I have seen it happen in workshops where, in one workshop, I was at a place where not everybody that was there in the institution I was in was going to attend the workshop. And I was teaching this. And one of the people there said to me at lunchtime, okay, if I don't come back after lunch, or if I'm late, it's because I'm going to take what you just taught us and I am going to take this to person X that I'm really having a problem with, and I'm going to see if this works. And I said, okay, I want you to do one thing for me. When you go and talk to person X, I want you to look at that person and say to them first, be sure you're coherent, and then say to them, I am coming to you with an open heart. Would you open your heart to me? And then just wait for them.
Mm-hmm.
Stay coherent. Their body, their feelings, their heart, the very essence of them wants coherency. They're going to feel it from you, and they're going to, their body is literally going to attempt to become as coherent as possible because it wants to resonate with you, because all life thrives on coherency. In that moment, they will open their heart, and you will solve your issue. So off she went. We had lunch, came back, started to work again, 1 o'clock. She didn't come in until 1:30, and she walks in, and she just opens the door, and she yells into the classroom, it works! And everybody laughed. And she said, it worked. I wouldn't have believed it. She said, the person heard me. I could actually talk to them. And I said, yeah, it's a natural desire within us to be in this state. And when we feel it in somebody else, we cave in. We just can't hold our posture of, you know, I'm sure I'm right and you're wrong and let's fight.
Right. What if it's not, you're right, I'm wrong? What if they're just resistant? They know that not necessarily that you're wrong, but it's just a resistance to really accepting their own inner truths. Being coherent would melt that kind of like wall, as we were talking about that mask. So being coherent would kind of take that mask away, wouldn't it?
Well, it would at least make them question more. One of the things about resistance means something needs to change, just like anger means something needs to change. And when a person is resistant versus, doesn't mean that everybody has to agree with everybody, but at least we can be open to hearing the other person and saying, well, that's an interesting viewpoint, I don't agree with you, but that's okay, let's go have lunch, you know, whatever.
Right.
But when we resist it, it means that we are trying to make something be different than it is, and it's usually inside ourselves. And until the person who is resistant desires to change, they're not going to change. And at the same time, every time you approach them in coherency, you up the ante within them of bringing them closer to that desire for change, if they are going to make it. And it depends upon the person, and it depends upon the situation. Somebody can say, I know I'm in a really horrible situation, and I know that I should move out of it, and I know I shouldn't stay here, and yet it's giving me all of the goodies I want on a very superficial level, and therefore I'm not going to leave. So, you know, take your theories and leave me alone. Each person is totally different, and it's important that we not get caught up in the idea that we need to change them. Because unless they really want to change, and it is time for them to change, everything in proper timing, they're not going to.
No. And right now, that the one thing that I'm getting very strongly is there's so many healers that want to fix everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding a lot of those who are really like, we're going to fix everybody and make them be aware. And now they're saying, no, not doing it now. They can fix themselves.
Yeah,
if they got
good
questions, I'm here. But otherwise, I'm laying it off.
Yeah.
And it's such a huge shift.
Wow. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
And it's awesome, yeah. And it's like, I'll take responsibility for my stuff, but they can take responsibility for their own healing, and they're not going to heal unless they're really ready anyway. So you can do a lot of work on somebody using Reiki or hand connection or any kind of modality, really. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to hear it, they're not going to. If they don't want to accept that energy, they're not going to. So I think that it's beautiful that a lot of healers are kind of like getting a break in some ways.
Well, and it's the other part that's getting a break within them is their ego personality's desire to be special and to make something happen. I mean,
right.
I've had a lot of people when I've taught energy work classes tell me how disappointed they were when I tell them, you know, you don't get to be the one to do it. You're the facilitator, but you don't get to call the shots. The person that you are doing this energy work with is the person calling the shots. They're
right.
deciding whether they're going to heal or not. And I've had some pretty disappointed students when they realized it wasn't going to be. And I'm serious. They just said, oh, well, I'm not sure I want to do this then. I mean, I don't get to, you know, make it happen. I said, no, you don't. Because you can't. All we can do is facilitate an opening for a shift and a change. And if it happens, it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's not about us.
Right. And even with when I'm doing psychic readings, there's been many people that have called me and they wanted to hear one certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally would hang up because I'm not saying what they want to hear. I'm telling them what I'm truly getting, which is totally different.
Yes.
Or if somebody is wanting me to just like, oh, poor you, you know, the pity party deal.
Yeah.
And I don't buy into it. They get very offended.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's your issue. Maybe that's something you should look at. I can be very blunt with my readings, and I generally get people to laugh, which is the best healing element of everything. So, as you know, it really that joke. It is, laughter is just a huge part of letting go and in some ways being a little more vulnerable by laughing at yourself.
Oh, I agree. Laughter is wonderful. It's fantastic. I mean, we can always laugh at ourselves first because we do a lot of things that are very laughable.
Yes,
very
we definitely do. And we entertain so many people with it. So, Tony, we're actually coming to the end of the show, so I want to make sure you go over any information, like any classes that are coming up, your website, because it has amazing information, tons of it. Can they get your YouTube? Do you have a station on YouTube as well, or is it mainly on your website for the video?
My videos, my YouTube ID, you search by ID on video, my channel name is mm-hmm. Sacred Sarah with two R's. So it's SacredSarah. And I've got 150 videos up there about everything spiritual under the sun and a few other things too that just interest me. I have a portal for both of my, I have two websites, and so I have a portal where you can get to both of them that's easy to remember. Youaresacred.com, just the way it sounds, YouAreSacred.com, and that will take you to Sacred Spaces, which is my main website, or Angelic Human, which is my second website. On Sacred Spaces is where you will find my services and my classes. I teach classes under MetaU, which is my own metaphysical institute that I have created. And for the months of November and December, so that people can gift themselves as well as others, all of my services are half price. And you'll see that
on
my website. Yes, people are really taking advantage of it. I'm really happy. And I do gift certificates, like one lady just bought 6 gift certificates for soul readings the other day at half price. And now she has 6 gift certificates to give away to people that she knows want soul readings for Christmas. And it's a wonderful way to gift people the services and the kind of gift that you want for yourself. And that's what we always say is, you know, to give a gift that you would desire for yourself. And this is an easy way for people to do it. So that's why I did that. And I would love to work with anyone who wants to come and learn more about themselves and the world in which we are living and how to access your soul.
Now, your classes are online, but do you do classes or workshops or retreats is what I'm trying to get out of my mouth, in your area, or do you travel and do classes?
I used to travel all the time and do classes, and in the last couple of years, I've started working more online and one-on-one with people. People can come here for retreats. They're basically self-directed retreats. In other words, you decide what you want to do on your retreat. I work with you off and on. We have a guest house that you can stay in, and you work within yourself with my direction part of the time and the rest of the time alone, so it's a good time for seclusion. I'm not doing workshops per se, which isn't to say I wouldn't. If somebody wanted to put a workshop together with me, I would definitely go and do it. But I did it for so many years, all the time, that I decided that I wanted to sit back and I want to write more, and I am writing a lot, and I'm creating more and more classes and putting them online. Next year, I'm going to be setting up a class structure online, so you will actually be in a classroom with other people you'll be able to see, and I will be teaching, along with a couple of co-teachers from my graduate students from my university. So there's a lot coming up next year that's going to be really fun. And usually what I do is people sign up for one of the classes under MetaU, and then we work once a week together through Skype or on the telephone if they don't want to use Skype, and I send them the material, the exercises, the physical CDs, etc., and we work together each week until the course is over.
Excellent. Well, you definitely, Toni, you're a busy lady, and you're doing wonders for so many people. I have appreciated your work for a long time, and you're awesome. And I'm
Thank
so
you.
Happy you were willing and able to come on the show so quickly. I just got inspired by seeing your name. It's like, yeah, we got to have her on. It's been a while. So I thank you very much. Please, if something comes up and you want to talk about it, let me know. I'll make room for you in the schedule. You're awesome.
Thank you.
And with that, this is Jennifer Hillman saying, with each breath of air, gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.